back here on Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino. Mike, we were kind of joking with all the sports going on right now. TVs everywhere has something on, and I just look up and I see there's a tennis match going on right now. Where the heck's that being played?
Well, you want me to put your money at, Steve.
Well, happy to welcome in now, talking football with Dalton Wasserman, PFF data analyst and co-host of the PFF College Football Show. Dalton, thank you so much for the time. How you doing this football season, man?
Oh, fantastic. One good weekend after another. It feels like every week we get so much action between the NFL and college. It's been great.
Yes, indeed. And obviously we're locked in on black and gold football Sundays here. The Saints had a great start to the season. Been rough the last couple games, the last five to be exact. Trying to rebound this week against a Chargers squad. Man, that defense is pretty impressive. But the offense right now, not so much. What are you thinking or seeing, at least in this matchup, Saints-Chargers Sunday in L.A.?
Yeah, I think you're right. Certainly likely to be a low-scoring game, right, because the Chargers, they've played things close to the vest. Jim Harbaugh's really gone in there with Jesse Minter and fixed up that defense, and they're playing closer to the talent level that they've had the last few years. But the last few years they didn't execute. Now they're going in there executing, playing really hard-nosed football on defense, really good on the defensive line, of course, with Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. And just more fundamentally sound and physical, right? And I think that's what Harbaugh wanted to get in there and play better defense, run the football, which they've done in spurts this year. The offense still inconsistent. Sometimes they find those explosive runs and they get Ladd McConkey going in the passing game. But this is going to be a physical, low-scoring football game for sure. And the Saints kind of need it that way, the way their offense has been playing, to be honest with you.
Dalton, on tonight's game, Vikings, Rams. The Rams certainly have been ravaged with a lot of injuries. And I know Derrick Henry took a big sip out of the Fountain of Youth, but Aaron Jones, he got a pretty good glass full, too, the way he's been playing for the Vikings. Your thoughts on the game tonight between the Rams and the Vikings?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Aaron Jones has brought a really good amount of balance to that offense. And when he's healthy and that offense is balanced and Darnold can get into the play-action stuff that Kevin O'Connell loves, they've been really, really efficient. But I think the biggest factor in this exact matchup is just all of the stuff that Brian Flores brings and all the blitzes and all the exotic stuff he brings on defense to a Rams offensive line that's really been struggling with injuries and struggling to pass protect near the bottom of the league and pretty much every pass blocking metric that we have. So I think it's really going to be on Stafford to get rid of the ball quickly, and they got to stay out of third and longs before Flores can get into all that fun stuff he does on defense.
Yeah, he's a master of it, man, and he comes from every different way as far as trying to get pressure. This is a kind of a playoff college football game within a game. As LSU plays Texas A&M and College Station this weekend, your thoughts on the Tigers and A&M? Both of them got off to a rough start, but like Usain Bolt, looks like they've hit a little bit of stride. And man, the winner of this game has got a pretty good path to get himself in the 12-team playoff. Not to say the loser won't, but the winner is certainly in the driver's seat.
No, you're right. It's a massive game, and it's a massive game because you mentioned the loser. The loser of this game is going to have a second loss, and that pretty much takes away any breathing room you have left, right? I don't think we're going to see a three-loss team, I should say, in the playoff, but no, this is a really interesting matchup. I think maybe the most even matchup of the entire weekend because you've got LSU. And the one thing I like with LSU, their defense the last couple weeks has finally showed up, right? It felt like for the last year and a half, there was just so many explosive plays, so many issues on the defense. I mean, obviously had the Heisman Trophy winner last year, but still lost three games because they gave up so many points on defense. But that's starting to get together in the secondary and even in the pass rush a little bit with their pass defense. That was the biggest weakness for LSU. And Garrett Nussmeier, I got to be honest with you, he's steady as it gets. He's the same guy every single week. He's tough as nails in the pocket. He makes big throws. So I think you see an LSU get a little more balanced. And Texas A&M is trying to get there, right? Their defense has been pretty good. They've been running the ball well. But this game may come down to whether or not Connor Wigman for Texas A&M at quarterback can match what Nussmeier does at quarterback for LSU, because Texas A&M, there's times this season where they've looked one-dimensional. It's only been the run game working for them. They may need a few big plays in the pass game to get to counter this LSU defense to win it.
He would be getting a lot more publicity if he were playing at an LSU or an Ohio State or, say, Southern Cal. But what Ashton Dentry has done this year, my God, for Boise State. And so you got to be up or you got a little coin on Boise State to watch. But to see how dominant he is. And, okay, when you're going up against them, you know what they're going to do, and you try to stop it. But what Ashton has done has been remarkable. And it's sort of gotten, overlooked by a lot of people of his talent at that running back position. Also, he's a really good receiver coming out of the backfield. But your thoughts on him as a player, because he's a tilt-the-field guy.
No, he's incredible. I got to be honest with you. I think he's one of the best college backs that I've ever watched. And we had a shot a long time before on our college football show before the season to interview him. And he said to us he wants to run with the power of Marshawn Lynch, the balance of Alvin Kamara, and the receiving ability of Christian McCaffrey. And I'll tell you what, we have seen at certain points in his career, and certainly right now, he shows all three of those things. I mean, he is just an incredible football player. And Boise State, what a huge game they're playing tomorrow against UNLV in Las Vegas. That could honestly decide the Group of Five playoff spot. I think Jinsey's been so good. Especially if Boise State finds their way into that top 12 at the end of the year, I really think he could win a Heisman Trophy. It's incredible stuff he's doing, and I really think he's barreling towards a first-round selection in next year's draft.
Think about Illinois in college football. I don't think anybody would have thought they'd be in this position today, but they have played some really good football, and, you know, their coach and he was down south for a little while. He knew what he was doing, and then they got a little antsy with him. But has Illinois been as big a surprise to you as maybe for a lot of people in college football?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, we've seen so many surprise teams this year. It's been so much fun to watch. And Illinois is a team that I don't see get talked about as much. But I'll tell you what, even this game against Oregon, I don't think it's a freebie win for Oregon by any means. Look, Illinois, the first thing they did in the offseason was get a couple of transfer tackles in there and make their offensive line a lot better, because it was too many times last year where they couldn't block anybody. It didn't give them a chance to function as an offense. Once they could start pass protecting, then Luke Altmyer at quarterback starts playing well. They got a couple of really good receivers on the outside. They run a fun, aggressive defense. You know, Brett Bielema's always got a physical team. So they've been a lot of fun to watch this year as well. I mean, all the way up, I really didn't think we'd get to a point where Illinois would be number 20 in the country this year, but here we are. I mean, just one of the many surprises. They've been a really fun team to watch all year.
In the NFC South, the weekend, Atlanta and Tampa Bay, and
ooh, yeah,
you talk about devastation at receiver, and you can say next man up, but that next man, he ain't close to, you know, Chris Godwin or Mike Evans in that spot. It puts a lot of pressure on maybe getting the ball out more to the running backs coming out of the backfield. Your thoughts in Atlanta, they Jekyll and Hyde. One game they play really good on defense, and they scored, and in the next game, like we saw last Sunday, they were lousy. Man, Seattle beat them every which way but loose in that game. But your thoughts on this Sunday's game between the Falcons and the Bucks?
Yeah, it's definitely a weird one. I'll start with the Bucks, because I think I also just saw something that Bucky Irving at running back may not play for the Bucks either, and he's really been their most consistent back this year. So the Bucks are short on weapons, and their defense has really been struggling in coverage lately, and that's the matchup for me. That's the big thing, because as far as the Falcons go, I think you put it great when you mentioned the Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing going on there, because the games where Kirk Cousins has been able to make throws down the field, make vertical throws, big plays down the field, they have won. And the games where they get kind of stuck in this 5 to 10 yard bubble and he's checking down constantly and they don't find big plays, it's too plodding. It's working too slow. It's only 4 or 5 yards at a time. It takes them too long to score. Right, it's great to have your running game and your short passing game going, but eventually you got to do something explosive. You saw that against Seattle last week. They just weren't explosive, especially early in the game. So if Cousins can make those vertical plays down the field, and of course we saw him throw for 500 yards this the first time against Tampa, so it's entirely possible. That's really the X factor for the Falcons, but I do like the Falcons in that matchup. The Bucks, I mean, those are huge injuries you're talking about with Evans and Godwin, and if Bucky Irving's out now too, I mean, the running game takes a hit as well. It's going to be a really tough task for Tampa.
Dalton, I really feel like PFF, Pro Football Focus, has just elevated the game when it comes to covering all things football, college, NFL, fantasy football, just great data analytics you guys have going on the website. Just what's going on right now, some of the premium stats that I know that PFF Plus has available too.
Yeah, I mean the premium stats. So anytime you hear about the PFF grades or any of the data that we use, you can see all of that. less than $10 a month. You go on our website, access all of that. You mentioned the fantasy. We got a boatload of fantasy tools, and I'll be honest with you, last year I won my league using them. So I can tell you the fantasy tools work. We got betting tools now for people who are into that sort of thing. NFL, college, we even got into the UFL this past year. We graded those games too. I mean, we get into everything, but no, I mean, our data team, our data collection team, they're so good. I did it for a few years, and it's just going down twice through the tape of every single game that we watch and breaking everything down with the broadcast at first, with the All-22. It's just great data. It's a great tool to have. So you get on there with that PFF Plus subscription, you'll be the smartest guy in the room for sure.
Awesome stuff for sure. And I'm curious, too, another local game that we have interest in, Tulane taking on North Texas Mean Green. How do you see this matchup? Because John Summerall's first year with the Green Wave is pretty impressive so far.
Man, North Texas is bad on defense. I can tell you that. They can score points, yeah, but, man, they are bad on defense.
Yeah, you just hit the nail right on. I mean, I've seen a handful of North Texas games this year. And look, they're high flying. I'll be real with you. On offense, Chandler Morris and that offense can really go. They can score a ton of points in a hurry. But you mentioned it, their defense is a real struggle. And you would think the way that they've been playing and they really struggle to tackle, that Mekhi Hughes would have a huge day against that team. And he's going to need to, honestly. It's really been a thing, this offense for Tulane. It's Mekhi Hughes and it's play action. And Darian Menso's been great in play action. He's really complimented the system well and complimented Hughes being the engine of it. But I think Hughes could be in for a huge week. North Texas really struggles to run defend. They struggle to tackle. Tulane needs to control the clock, control the big plays on defense, because Chandler Morris is a big play hunter, former starter at TCU. He's a really good quarterback, and you don't want to fall behind North Texas from giving up explosive plays. So I think Hughes does control the game. I do like Tulane in that game, but it could go any which way because North Texas can really score.
Your thoughts on Alabama at this stage, two-loss Alabama team, and my old buddy Pete Jenkins, who's coached defensive line for 50 years, told me this. Like, Mike, I'm going to tell you something. Nick Saban won more fourth-quarter games than anybody in the history of college football. It's not going to be what they do 1-3. It's going to be what happens in the fourth quarter and how Alabama people going to take the fact. They're not going to win all those games in the fourth quarter like Nick. He always had something sort of up his sleeve that he could throw at you that was a little different, and bang, we've seen it now. Two losses. Do they bounce back this week?
I do think they bounce back this week, in part because, one, they're playing another team in Missouri who has not played their best football. I know their record, they only have one loss, but they haven't really executed to their full potential all year. And now you've got some serious injury situations. It's looking like Brady Cook, their quarterback, is going to be out. Nate Noel, their leading rusher, is going to be out. And they weren't executing with those guys on the field. So I do really heavily lean towards Alabama this week. But their entire season is going to come down to that game when they go down there and play in Death Valley at LSU. That's really what it's going to come down to, is they're either going to win that game and they're going to set a course for themselves to go 10-2 and get in the playoff, or they're going to lose it, and they're not. You're going to hear a whole lot of controversy now at Alabama with Kalen DeBoer. So I do think they get it done this week. Missouri's banged up. Missouri's been struggling even when they weren't banged up. You saw them. You saw the beating they took against Texas A&M, and they just have not played their best football all season. I trust Alabama and Milroe more than Missouri, but we will see what happens when they get down to LSU, because that's the game of their season. They're either going to win it or lose it, and we're going to find out the hard way.
Dalton, awesome stuff. Thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it. And we'll be talking soon, man.
Thank you, Dalton. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
All right.
Dalton Wasserman, PFF data analyst and co-host of the PFF College Football Show.